When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Oof.
I love that this podcast
always goes back to fucking food.
Always.
Yes. I mean, my parents used to make us liver steaks. Like, actually, you would go to the grocery store and get, you know, liver cut in, like, a steak. And we would eat that, like, once a month.
That's really good for you, I feel like.
That's what she would say. But we'd be like, oh, we gotta eat the liver steaks. But
was
then
your mom giving it to you because you were, like, low on iron or something? Or was it, like, a Cuban?
No, like, I think she was thinking more the health benefits of it. And again, she would give it, she would cook that for us about once a month. And also she really, her and my dad loved it. And you know what's funny? Eventually I grew to like it, and she would cook it really well, like a steak, and then cook a ton of onions and put those on top of it. And it was actually really good. Now I'm craving a fucking liver steak. Ooh.
I don't go out of my way to be like super experimental.
Same, yeah.
Like, I was just in Mexico City, and there were so many crickets.
Oh, yeah.
In the specialty drinks, and everybody was eating them. And I was like, I don't fuck with that.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do that. But in Japan, I had turtle soup.
What?
And there were little squares of turtle, not like endangered turtles, like soft-shelled turtles or like a thing there. It was disgusting tasting.
That?
To me. I did not
repulsive.
Like it. Then we went to Iceland and we had horse and we had whale.
Bitch, you talking about, you ate whale and horse and turtle?
I had like a
turtle?
Bite. Like they ate, yeah, I've had horse, whale, turtle. I did not do guinea pig. I've not done bugs. What about bison?
I've had bison. I like bison. I've had a bison burger.
Me too.
You know what I've never had, Katie? I've never had venison. Have you had venison?
That's deer, right?
Yes.
No. I had venison jerky.
You're a jerky.
You're a jerky. My uncle is a big hunter, and like in a traditional way, like he lives in Buffalo, and if he got a deer.
I'm sure they use the skin, they use the fur, everything.
Oh, he's like unbelievable. He has a cabin, and when he scores a big thing like that, it's like they have it all cut up, they freeze it all, they salt it. But anyway, so he had brought like pepperoni that he had like made that was venison. Like,
I will fucking booty bump a venison beef jerky right now. I'm so fucking hungry. There was a crew member on Scandal
who made jerky, right?
Who made jerky, and he would bring me bags of it, and it was so good.
Way to bring it back to Scandal, buddy.
Right? Oh, our crew on Scandal were the fucking tops, man. Like top shelf, top
drawer. I can't wait
to
have them on. We need to have our crew on. Oh, speaking of.
Yes.
We do have a guest today. And other than Guillermo Diaz, I have to say he may be one of my soulmates of my life.
Oh, 100%. I think he's mine, too. I think he's everyone's soulmate, for that matter. Like, Adam is loved
you
by
guys,
all.
He is our guest today.
Oh, fuck. I just said his name.
No, it's great. You guessed it. Guillermo leaked it. It is the one and only Adam Shapiro, who played Jesse Tyler.
Yes.
But let me tease a little bit about Adam Shapiro. He's the biggest, this person was the biggest Scandal fan when he came on the show. Like, the show was already in the midst of season two, so it was a big hit. And this special guest was freaking the fuck out that they were going to come and be on Scandal. He's definitely feels way more comedic, and Scandal is a drama.
Yeah.
But
he gets real intense in this episode.
He does get real intense.
He delivers that intensity.
He definitely had to audition for the role. He definitely was boning a series regular on Scandal.
Show enough. Oh, no, it sounds good. You guys, this is Adam Shapiro, y'all.
Wow, this is exciting. Finally in the room where it happens.
Can you believe it? Are you right next to Katie in the closet? Or are you in a whole other room?
I am, you know, because of sound or whatever, I'm in a whole other room.
Where are the kids right now?
They're at Escuelo.
In La Escuela.
La Escuela. They're in La Escuela, which is such a blessing. So Adam, like, if you want to do this podcast right quick and then meet in the bedroom for a quickie, we can get it all done.
Fuck yeah. Can I come film it?
as long as it's with that grainy ass camera you got filming you right now. What is that?
Yeah, Guillermo looks God, a little grainy, but I love it.
There's something about Scandal podcast.
It just brings it out in us.
Talk about food. We talk about sex. We talk about poop. And we talk about Scandal.
Oh, I know. I hear you guys through the closet door all the time.
Mikey, too, when I come out from taping, he's like, oh, it sounded like a good episode. I'm like, oh, shit, you heard everything, huh?
Okay, before we get into the specific episode of 212, Adam Shapiro, we have so many notes on you, so, like, don't
worry.
So
many fucking notes.
Wow. But,
and we're not going to get to most of them, probably.
But I want to know, where were you in your life when you booked Jesse?
Zychon, baby.
Yes.
Who rigged the election. He helped Hollis Doyle rig the election. And a real nice fun fact, Jesse Tyler in photos season one was somebody completely different.
That's right.
That's fun.
That's right. We're boarding a Jesse Tyler and it's not Adam.
It was not Adam. Adam, where were you in your life? I was explaining when we were teasing you that you were a huge Scandal fan before you booked the job. How did you book the job? Take us through your audition.
Oh,
were you
boy.
Nervous? Tell me all the things.
You know, I was nervous because it's like, I don't want to, this thing's going so well for us. You know, Katie's on it. It's helping the household. I don't want to get on that show and ruin it.
No.
But then Linda Lowy called me in for an audition for Jesse Tyler. I remember the only person I remember in the waiting room was actually the young man who just announced that he's running for Congress for California, Ben Savage.
What?
Yeah, Ben Savage just announced he's running for Congress.
Ben Savage could have been
Broadway?
Jesse Tyler?
Ben
the
Savage
Broadway from, actor?
No, Ben Savage from like Boy Meets World, bro.
Oh, shit. What?
Fred we Savage and Ben Savage are brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, Fred Savage and Ben Savage are brothers. And also, have either of them been in horror movies? Because if they haven't, Guillermo does not know them.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Yeah.
That's ludicrous. So, that's who was in the room.
I remember seeing him there, and I'm like, "Oh, Ben Savage is gonna get it." And he probably saw me walk in and was like, "Oh God, this guy's married to the girl he's gonna be in all the scenes with." But anyway, so the audition went well, and Linda gave me a bunch of redirects.
She did.
Yeah, Linda.
What were your audition
around.
Scenes?
You know
do you remember?
What were the audition scenes? I think One of them was the phone call between you and me where I'm like, where you call me and you're like, hey, guess what? Guess who got into law school?
Yeah, guess who's a lawyer? Or, yeah, yeah.
Guess who's a lawyer? No, guess who graduated law school?
Yes, yes.
And then...
was the other phone call the one you're like so fucking pissed at Hollis Doyle? Like you're like asking for $5 million.
And now, Katie, you know this about me, but I think my strongest suit as an actor is acting like I'm on the phone.
That is a special
Adam
skill.
Fucking Shapiro's phone acting
is great.
Remarkable. He has done 1,000 phone commercials. Where
I have a phone reel. I have a whole 3-minute reel of me talking on the phone. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Which we have to post when this episode comes out because it is
100%.
It's, I mean, that is, I'm real, really bad at it. Like, I consciously try as an actor to like, I've gone as far as to like write the other side of the conversation to pretend I'm pausing and hearing what the other person may be saying. I mean, I really have tried. Can you show us right now?
Well, there's a lot of tricks of the trade. One is where your eyes go when you're on the phone. It's just sort of like random.
Right. Looking around sort of.
Whoa, that's
well, now
good.
The times have changed because now we have ear pods, right? So we don't.
Right.
Sometimes
so
we don't
even
have to, when we're phone acting, you don't have to even put your hand up to your ear.
Yeah, so if you're on the ear pod, you could just do something like this.
Yeah, but you still have to look like you're thinking about something
else.
I'm so
glad the podcast is hearing what you look like while you're ear pod
acting.
Sure,
but then you have to do things like, you have to like try to get your.
Yes, yes.
You got to be like.
Make that shit real.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Which
like you
happens
have to, like,
in a conversation, yeah.
And so a lot of times I use my next line as the line I'm trying to get in, but can't, you know? So it's
that,
a nice sort
man.
Of.
Wow. For all you fucking actors listening, this is some real tricks
this
of the
is
trade.
Get your notebooks out and your number two pencils,
yeah,
Katie.
Get your notebooks out.
Do you remember, Katie, whenever we had phone scenes, they would call the actor, even if we were off that day, and we would have to stop what we were doing and do the scene with the actor who was on set. And do the phone scene with them, which I loved. And oftentimes, if I had a phone scene like that and they'd be like, do you want, Katie or Carrie or whoever to be on the other line? And most of the time, I'd be like, no, it's fine. I feel like sometimes I act better on the phone when the other person is not there. Because then I could do all that bullshit, all that crazy shit that Adam is talking about. And the other person isn't like, what the fuck is this person doing? You know what I mean? I feel like I'm better.
The other thing I hate about phone calls is that sometimes you can tell in movies and TV when they haven't been on the phone with each other because they're in two different scenes. Like sometimes I'm like, why? This person is clearly not reacting proportionately to the conversation that's going on.
That's
like one
true.
Person's flying off the handle and one person is like, it just feels like they're in different worlds.
It's not easy. I had to do a FaceTime call on The Affair and I didn't have my actor on the other side of the FaceTime. That was hard because.
Oh, really, Adam?
I mean, you're supposed to be seeing each other.
What
so
a
it's a
dick. Where was that actor?
No, she wasn't being a dick.
It was just like technical shit that they just couldn't have the other person there, right? On
FaceTime
or some shit.
They couldn't have it there because they had to be recording my phone.
And
they
were
going to
superimpose it later. Like,
so I had her other side of the conversation on at the video. So I could go to the little video bay and watch her side before I shot. But she wasn't being a dick.
You've done a lot of FaceTime acting, Adam. I just, last night, I watched a horror movie called The Den.
You watched it?
Adam, do you know me at all, motherfucker? I searched you on IMDb and I looked for those horror movies that you were in.
First of all, scary movie, right?
So freaking scary. Mikey left the room. He was like, I can't be in the room for this. And he left. It's very sort of hostile Blair Witch Project. Like, it's in that vein.
It is.
But anyway, Adam has most of your scenes are on sort of FaceTiming on the computer.
The whole concept of the movie is that everything that's recorded and shown in the movie was recorded on a computer or a cell phone. So the only real bits of footage you get from the characters or when they're FaceTiming each other. Yeah.
I sent Katie.
So this is the photo at Guillermo sent
me. And I
me.
Said, do you recognize who this is? And she was like, who the fuck is that? That's you, Adam.
Guillermo texts me. So the greatest thing about coming on our podcast is if you've ever been on a horror film, ever.
I will find it.
Guillermo fucking finds it. He doesn't care how small your role is. He doesn't care if it's a good Redbox piece of shit horror film. He will go out of his way to bring it up and talk to you about it, which is one of my most favorite things about Unpacking.
Well, that's remarkable. I love The Den. I love The Den.
He texted me this photo of Adam with a fucking plastic bag. Is
over
this a
my
plastic
face.
Bag?
He's being suffocated. Yeah.
Yeah, I got
spoiler
killed.
Alert.
Spoiler alert. Adam dies.
Because all the cameras in that movie are via people's computers or cell phones, it's like there's no cutting. So for that, we actually had to put a plastic bag over my face for the amount of time it would actually take for somebody to suffocate and die.
Mother, did you have like a safe like hand movement
I had a safe thing? I had a safe thing. And also the plastic bag looks like it's over my head, but it's just in front of my face. So they could just pull it away.
Oh, shit. They did a really, really good job.
They did a good job. What we didn't have on that movie was an intimacy coordinator, which we could have used for sure.
Oh,
because
damn,
what you didn't see in the final cut is I had a sex scene that just
with that
really,
girl, with Melanie?
Yes. And they cut it out of the movie because the initial audiences thought that
Katie.
come on, Katie.
What did you say, Katie?
She said it was too bad.
Because it was so bad.
Wow.
No, it probably was really awkward. Basically what happened was you're supposed to really feel for Melanie's lead character, and she cheats on her boyfriend with me, and it's just kind of it's like you're like, oh what?
They were saying that to be nice. Adam is an amazing phone actor, and he's
What are you about to say?
I don't know, Katie. I don't know if I believe that.
We do this joke all the time, which is Adam has played a lot of like best. You haven't had a ton of sex scenes in your career.
Yeah, I'm not usually the person fucking in the movie. I'm best friends with the guy who's fucking in the movie. And then I'm in the next scene where I'm like, yo, how was last night? Give me details, bro.
Yes.
And so the problem has always been that, like, I'm the person that has to do that crap. But this scandal was the best because it was Guillermo or it was George Newbern.
We got to have a little smoocheroo on Scandal, you and me, Katie.
In this episode, 212, didn't we have a little smooch?
Yeah, we had a quick smooch when you come into the office and you're kind of like a little jealous of the girl I work with.
You're flirting with another bitch in the office. Now, wait. We will be back with more after the break.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Adam, so you get the call, you get redirected by Linda Lowy. You're nervous. You're like, I don't want to fuck up Scandal. I'm a fan of the show. When do you get the call that you book it? And I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, it was funny because you were just so busy and you were working on the show that you weren't really involved in a lot of the stuff. Like we didn't really run the lines together. It was just kind of really, it was fast. And as you guys know, in Scandaland, not only is the dialogue fast, the shooting fast, but like the auditions are really fast too, because once Linda Lowy is told, all right, here's the guest star. This is locked in. This is in the script after the table read. She's got like 2 days to turn around the guest stars to be at the fitting a couple days before they're on set. So it was really fast. And then this is what was complicated about booking Scandal. Of course, I never book anything where there's not, where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm completely available that day.
Never happens that way.
At the time, I was doing another political White House show called 1600 Penn.
Oh shit.
A comedy.
A comedy with Josh Gad and Bill Pullman, directed by Jason Weiner. And I was the White House press correspondent. I was like, I was in the press pool in that show.
He was the Dan Bukatinsky on a comedy.
I was straight up Dan Bukatinsky on 1600 Penn.
So wait, were you shooting that at the same time that you had to shoot Scandal?
Yes.
Was there like a potential conflict there?
There was a conflict. There was, I had to shoot like two of the days I was supposed to do Scandal. I was supposed to be at 1600 Penn. So I was doing 1600 Penn. I called Jason. I'm like, bro, I have to do Scandal. I got a guest star. And I'm playing Katie's boyfriend from the past, Jesse Tyler from Cytron. I rigged the election. And he was like, we'll get you out by lunch. So I was able to actually split my days. I did the morning at 1600 Penn, and I did the afternoon at Scandal.
Have zero recollection of this.
Two days in a row. The only reason I was baby-faced as Jesse Tuck was because I had to be baby-faced on 1600 Penn. Because I had to be like a clean cut reporter. So that's the only, I auditioned for Scandal with my beard, but then I had to shave for 1600 pounds. He's like, oh God, this stuff stresses me out.
And we want to switch shit up sometimes too. So you're like, I'm going to be scruffy for this character. And this is what I'm talking about.
Every time I do a character, I like a different, you know, like this one's just going to be a creepy mustache. And this one's going to be like short hair.
A goatee or
Oh my God, I like to change it up. I don't think you've ever had a goatee.
You know what? I don't grow facial hair well on the side, so it just always looks like I have a goatee.
My husband is so hot, and I love his facial hair. I think it's the most handsome thing in the entire world. And the two times he decided to shave his whole face was when he met my granny Pat, who's my favorite person in the world other than you two, and on our wedding day.
Wow. And to play Jesse Tyler, apparently.
And you shaved your face for our wedding day. And for everyone listening, we got married between seasons one and season two of Scandal. And we didn't, I'm sorry, Guillermo, we didn't invite anyone from Scandal to the wedding because
we didn't think it was going to get picked up.
Yeah, like, we didn't think it was going to get picked up. I didn't think I was ever going to see anybody again. I was like, I'm getting fired. Quinn's going to die. Like, what is even happening? Also, if we invite one, we have to invite everyone. And we literally couldn't afford another 30 people.
Yeah, we couldn't afford, like, 50 more people at the wedding.
Hell
but, I remember
but at... now that I know, I'm like, oh, my God, Guillermo wasn't there. Linda wasn't there. Jeff wasn't there. Like, all these people weren't there. And then I've said on the podcast before, remember after our first dance or some speech during the reception,
everybody was chanting,
shouting, who is Quinn?
Wow.
Who is Quinn? Because it was right after the season one finale.
And we were hoping that 1600 Penn and Scandal both got picked up for a second season. I remember that's what we were hoping for during the wedding.
What was it like working together, you guys? Like you two on set working together?
Well, you know, it's funny because Katie and I have worked together in every possible facet of this business you could imagine. Mm-hmm. We've produced together. We've acted together. We've acted together in short films, YouTube videos. We were in a feature film together.
Yes. Tell me about what it was like with us working together on this episode.
Well, the funny thing was, is I'm not exaggerating. I was a huge Scandal fan. I was a bigger Scandal fan than Katie was a bigger Scandal.
Sure.
Now Katie's getting it because there's time has passed and
now
she's watching
it
back.
Yeah.
And she's watching it and she's like, holy shit, this show's amazing. Like when I come into the bedroom and Katie's watching Scandal and I want to talk about something, she's like, shut up, I'm watching Scandal. Right? And like,
it's so good. I didn't know.
So
and that's
good.
How I used to be. I used to watch Scandal and live tweet, and Katie would come into the room like wanting to talk about something that doesn't have to do with Scandal. And I'm like, Katie, it's TGIT right now. Either get on board and start live tweeting right now or get out of the room.
Get out.
Because I'm watching this show. So I was a big fan. And my first thing I did when I got to set was go to hair and makeup. And I walk into the hair and makeup trailer and Tony Goldwyn's sitting in his seat and he's getting his makeup done. And what is on his face? A huge bandage from a gunshot wound he got to the head.
Now, Adam, you didn't know about it.
Yeah, as a Scandal fan.
Spoiler alert. I mean, spoiler ever.
I walk in, I go, spoiler alert, Tony. He's like, oh, yeah, I get shot in the head. I'm like, whoa, don't say that. I'm like 5 episodes behind because you guys shoot about 5 episodes in front of what the audience is seeing.
Right.
So that was a huge spoiler alert. And I was like, man, this is going to suck. Everything's getting ruined for me.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. But then Katie came into the trailer and we were getting our hair and makeup done at the same time. That was really fun. That was great.
This was directed by
Zwark. Don't get me started on Jeannot Zwark.
Don't get Guillermo started on Jeannot.
Oh no. So Jeannot is a very famous director on Scandal, and he's also a very polarizing director. He had people who really loved his style and some people who did not prefer his style. We can just leave it at that.
And I also admire that he directed one of my favorite horror sequels, Jaws 2.
What?
Yes. And we talked about this in between us, you know, arguing about stuff on set. I talked to him all the time about Jaws 2. He signed my DVD. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. That's great.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I loved him. We had a blast. I was also very, very excited because there was a guest star in this episode who had been guesting for a few episodes, and it was Norm Lewis.
As a
Broadway fan, to all of a sudden be working with Norm Lewis out of the blue is so crazy. You know, I liken it to if you're a huge basketball fan and you booked like a Burger King commercial, and then in that Burger King commercial just happened to be Michael Jordan, and you just all of a sudden you're like colleagues with Michael Jordan for
a day.
That's
fucking huge. Yeah.
But not in basketball. Like, I wasn't on Broadway with Norm Lewis. Like, I just was in LA down the street from our house with Norm Lewis, and it was so trippy for me. And there's a great picture of the four of us.
Yes, on our we have a cork board in our kitchen. It's an entire back wall of our kitchen, and it has our like favorite memories tacked up on it. And there's a candid shot of us walking on the lot, and it's me, Guillermo, Adam, and Norm Lewis.
And I have my finger in my ear like I'm like in an a cappella group. So I'm obviously like singing to Norm Lewis.
Oh, wait, I know what I wanted to ask you. Tell us real quick about the creation of the Scandal Wives Club
and any of
your favorite memories of away times where we traveled and the Scandal Wives were kicking ass.
First of all, and I don't know if the audience knows this, but the Scandal Wives Club is anybody, husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends of anybody on Scandal, right? And I called it the Scandal's Wife Club. When did I start doing that, Katie? Like season 2, 3?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was like
early
season,
on.
Yeah, middle of season 2, 3, something like that.
Yeah, and I would always, just when I would see another Scandal wife, I would be, like, if I ran into Mikey, it's just this bond that we have because all of us know what it's like to be married to somebody who's part of this sort of, not only are you guys always on set and working really late on Fridays and, like, you know, busy, but it's also like a juggernaut. Like it changed everybody's lives very, very quickly. Like all of a sudden, Katie and I are just like, you know, we're at the airport and Katie's taking like selfies like 20 times as we're going through security.
Yes, and also everyone's lives changed like because of Scandal. Adam and I moved out of a 1-bedroom apartment to a house. Mikey and Guillermo moved out of their apartment they'd been in forever into a house. Like people got married. People started families. Like, and we were with all of that together.
Yeah, it was a huge deal in everybody's lives. And I thought that, you know, the people that kind of understood my position in all of that the best were the people that were also dating or married to people on Scandal. And now, what I don't think the audience realizes is that the Scandal Wives are so much more interesting than the Scandal cast.
It's so true. Fun. They're the most fun.
I remember, before we would go to an event or whatever, a Scandal thing, I would have to tell Mikey, do not get too drunk with Marika. And Marika, who's married to Scott Foley, was like, you guys need to pull it together. Like, be chill. Because you guys were, it was like the Real Housewives. Like,
oh
shit.
My God.
Like, you guys
it was
were.
Real. When we got together, first of all, you know, you got Nnamdi Asamoah. Like, 10-time All-Pro, freaking yes. Amazing athlete turned exceptional actor and Hollywood producer. Like, is there anybody on the planet more interesting than Namdi Hasselbaink? Yeah. And then you got like me and Mikey and Marika, who are like the Three Musketeers, such characters. I mean, then you got like Linda Lowy, the casting director of Scandal, is herself a Scandal wife, right?
And yes. The best is Marietta.
Oh, Marietta. Then you got Marietta, George Newbern's wife, who is the greatest chef and funniest person and most...
She's so funny.
She's unbelievable. Then, like, Portia brought in Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes. Oh,
Ellen
great.
DeGeneres was a Scandal wife. It was just like... Oh, how about Don Roos? Dan Bukatinski's husband.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Bukatinski's husband is maybe the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Sort of all happened because Linda Lowy, who is, again, as Adam said, the casting director and married to Jeff Perry, they would have potluck hangs on Sundays.
Oh, yes.
Like, a lot, where everyone would, like, bring a dish and we would drink and hang out and we would show up at maybe, like, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday and do this potluck till like 6, 7 o'clock and just like hang out.
And
hang
out.
We would watch the episode, right? That
watch
was upcoming.
The episode, plan
and we would
our
take notes for tweet, just, yes. Like, tweeting.
Yeah.
And just like hang out. And it was really, and then besides those, God, we haven't talked about those enough. I can't wait when we have Linda on to talk to her about that. Okay, guys, Unpacking the Toolbox, episode 212.
Yeah, like get into it.
Called Truth or Consequences. It aired on January 31st of 2013.
It was written by Peter Noah,
who was a writer on Scandal for, I want to say, only one season. He was a big deal that we got him. I think he was like a journalist and maybe even was a big writer on The West Wing. And then he was only on Scandal for a year, but no.
Yeah, Peter Noah wrote on West Wing too.
Oh, wow.
And now he's a co-executive producer on The Good Doctor, which I will say I don't watch The Good Doctor, but I do watch the first 5 minutes of The Good Doctor because it comes on after The Bachelor and we usually still leave the TV on.
So you're welcome, The Good Doctor. Okay, guest starring Greg Henry as Hollis Doyle, Deborah Mooney as Verna Thornton, Susie Poorfar as Becky Flynn, Norm Lewis as Senator Edison Davis, George Newbern as Charlie.
Shannon Cochran as Susan Sawyer, J. Rene Pena as Louise, President Secretary, William Stone Mahoney as Defiance Voting Clerk, and Adam Shapiro, Shappy Shaps as Jesse
as
Tyler.
Also, this was the fourth time I've played a character named Jesse.
Really?
Another little fun fact there. I don't know what it is about Jessies, but I auditioned for a lot of Jessies.
Well, there you
go. That's so weird, and I hate that name.
You do?
I can't stand it. I don't like it for a girl or a boy. I just think it stinks. Okay, synopsis. Let's see if we can pass this off. I'm going to stop at some point, and G's going to pick it up, and then Adam, you got to hit that last paragraph all on your own at the best Scandal pace that you got. You with us?
Okay.
It's like we're doing a fucking Scandal scene right now.
Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. With Olivia quickly unraveling, the OPA team puts their heads together to figure out what has their boss so distraught. In the process, they learn the truth about the rigged White House elections.
Believing that Hollis Doyle was responsible for the rigged election and the attempted assassination of President Fitz, Assistant U.S. Attorney David Rosen has Hollis arrested.
Flashbacks reveal what really happened during the Cytron explosion. The role Quinn's, aka Lindsay Dwyer, ex-boyfriend, played in the Hollis' involvement. Finally, Nellie struggles to get a resentful Fitz back on her side when all else fails. She has one last card to pull.
That was really good, Adam.
Wow.
That was
so
funny.
I'm sweating right now.
The pressure. Now you know the pressure we felt. That was really good.
You know what else sucks? That I had to play a character in the past because I didn't get a chance to like work with Guillermo or anybody.
Yeah. I
wasn't in scenes with like anybody from Scandal other than Lindsay Dwyer.
Yeah.
And that was like not Quinn Perkins. It was like
She was
Dwyer.
Lindsay Dwyer still. She had that side braid.
Jesse Tyler was the worst. When I watch this episode, I'm like, what is this side braid loser? Okay, flashback 2 years is when Jesse Tyler is in Defiance, Ohio, swapping out the memory cards in the voting machines to rig the election for Fitz. And he gets a call from Lindsay Dwyer, who tells him that she's just passed the bar.
Yes.
Adam, do you remember working with the voting machines? Because I have to say, other than amazing phone working, unlike me and Guillermo, you are very good at working with technology in scenes.
Yes, I love playing hackers. I've played a lot of hackers. I've been in two different movies called Hacked. Another fun fact for you, Guillermo.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, they weren't horror movies, so he's not going to watch them.
No, one of them was. One of them was kind of a horror movie.
Oh,
it's about,
I'm looking
check
into
it. Hacked.
Let's talk about your scenes in this episode, and then we'll just briefly talk about some of the, like, big highlight scenes of this episode. But
yeah, great.
You work closely with the rigged voting machine in the first scene, and then the
next time we see you, Cytron.
Right. Explain to the listeners what the fuck Cytron is.
Cytron is basically, if you're up on the news of today, Cytron is Dominion. Okay, so Dominion voting machines, the one that Trump said were like rigged or whatever.
Ugh.
Like that in Scandal, that was called Cytron. We made these voting machines, whatever. And so I had the ability to swap out the data card inside of one voting machine
to change the whole
thing. In Defiance, Ohio. And Defiance, Ohio, in Scandal Land, in the real world, is like Palm Beach, Florida, when like Gore lost by like a couple.
Yep.
So I basically just rigged one machine in Defiance, Ohio, and that machine tipped the election to President Fitzgerald Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you. What the fuck? Why did Jesse Tyler do that?
Because I got paid $5 million from Hollis Doyle.
If you got paid $5 million, would you rig an election?
Well, no, you got
me personally.
Didn't you get paid a million?
So, like, what is wrong with this person? Yeah.
You're right, Guillermo. I got paid like a million.
And you were fighting when you found out that that Hollis Doyle was making billions. You were like, I want $5 million or I'm going to start talking to reporters. Yeah.
And then that's what he said.
Your next scene, I have the note, Jesse so cranky and on weird call with Hollis asking for $5 million more, and coffee spills on laptop and he flips out.
It's fried.
This is another one of my most fun facts about Scandal. So one of the big sponsors of Scandal was Microsoft. Right? Have we talked about this?
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
We haven't.
Microsoft was specific. We had a couple rap parties at a really cool Microsoft space in LA. Microsoft was really, really cool. And they were a big sponsor of Scandal. And what the audience can now, when they're rewatching, they can watch for is if you were a good guy or a hero and you were at OPA or you were somebody who was like good for the country, you used Microsoft products. If you were a bad guy and you were doing something bad for the country, you used Apple products.
Oh,
and that was like
actually
thought about. And Jesse Tyler is technically a bad guy. I mean, he's like, you know, he works with Hollis Doyle, he rigs the election. So in the scene where the coffee spills on my laptop. It's a MacBook.
Oh shit.
And I go to the Genius Bar and they can't fix it. And I'm so upset. And Katie, you have a line like the fucking Genius Bar.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, I'm talking shit about the Genius Bar.
Yeah.
In a bunch of flashbacks.
Yeah. So those are actually tiny little sort of little digs at Apple. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Interesting. I still don't understand why, in your actor prep of this character, did you prepare this character at all of why he would rig the election? Why did he want that money? What was he planning to do with it?
Yeah, he's just a scrupulous dude. He's a hacker. He'll take money. Hackers will take money to do anything.
When your character created that software, right, that could...
Yeah, I created the software. I think Jesse Tyler did that because he's a little bit of like an anarchist.
Yeah.
Did you really think about that at the time, or are you thinking about that now?
Just right now. Katie, know me. I'm not Daniel Day-Lewis. I just do my lines and I leave.
I was just here thinking, like, I wonder what actor prep he like put into this, other than like, I'm sure your most biggest concern was the pace with which you said the words and the accuracy with which you said the words.
Oh, the only prep I did was just making sure I was just extremely off book. Oh, then this also the scene where I spilled the coffee, Katie, we had to improvise. Do you remember
this? That's right.
We had to improvise a fight.
Who's overseeing it? Becky? Becky is overseeing it.
That's right. She's watching you guys through a telescope.
Susie Porfar is walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's watching us from like another building.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you and I had to just sort of improv a fight, and it was getting so real.
Oh, I remember this. Really? It was horrible. Yes. What were we talking about?
Well, it was just, you know, it was just like, you always do this. And you know, Katie, when Katie improvises, she uses real stuff out of real life.
Oh, shit. She was getting real.
I do not.
Yeah, you do, Katie.
What are you talking about?
Katie, but sometimes when Katie improvises, she talks like we're real, like we're like it's me and Katie, you know, not like Jesse and Lindsay Dwyer.
I see no difference between me and Lindsay Dwyer. I am a fucking legit actress. It's just that you can't see my acting. It's not my fault that I'm so talented.
No, you know what's funny is Lindsay Dwyer is actually a lot like Katie Lowe's. It's Quinn Perkins that's nothing like Katie Lowe's.
Oh shit. Truly.
Well, right? Quinn Perkins at the Quinn Perkins season one is like Katie Lowe's, and then as soon as
right, because that was when you were sort of Lindsay Dwyer still, and you didn't even know who Quinn Perkins was. But yeah, we had to improv, and we were really fighting.
Like I said, guys, unpacking the toolbox. Get all the information here about food, farts, pooping, and scandal. You're welcome.
We'll be right back, guys.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
I want to get back to this episode, but really quickly, Adam, do you remember when you first found out that Quinn and Huck were going to be like a romantic item, and how did you feel about that?
Oh, well, I was excited as a fan because everybody wanted Quinn and Huck, and I was like, Huckleberry Quinn, done. I went to Photoshop. I started making Huckleberry Quinn things to tweet.
You're the best.
And I love Guillermo, and I was like, oh, good. I'm so glad it's like a dude I trust, and he's cool.
Right.
Aww.
And he's gay. He's not trying to mac on his wife. Hell yeah.
He's gay. This is the best.
I was like, this is the greatest fucking scenario a person could be in.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
It's, I mean, if Katie was on a TV show for 10 years with just like a really hot, funny Jewish dude who is straight, I'd be like, oh boy.
You'd be so pissed.
I'd be so jealous. It's just every day, it was just you and Max Greenfield just making out on the hood of a Mercedes.
You have nothing to ever be concerned about. There is no Adam Shapiro anywhere else in the world. No one comes close. Okay. Okay. What are some, I'm looking at my notes, if there was any other fave flashback Jesse and Quinn, because Becky texted Jesse that they go to the Genius Bar to get Jesse's old computer, which, by the way,
mm-hmm.
2 years later, we go back to that Genius Bar to get your computer.
To get that computer. That's the proof that ties Becky's account number, right, to the payment.
That's right. I mean, God, this story is so woven. It's like
so
insane.
Much.
Also, it's another time that like Shonda, you know, how many times, you probably talk about this a lot on the podcast, but how many times did Shonda write an episode, then the episode filmed, then a couple weeks later, the episode comes out, and when it comes out, the thing happening in the episode is happening in the real world.
In the fucking news.
It's weird. Oh,
like,
yeah. It was weird.
Like other TV shows would pull headlines and write articles about things mm-hmm. happening in the world. Shonda would write episodes with this sort of like
like she could see the future. Like this is going to be an issue in America. Like even the you guys searching for my laptop is so similar to like Bo Biden's laptop. It's like a all we talk about is like about the laptop. And it's like you guys actually like have to go and recover this laptop.
Yeah.
A few other and then I want to read some fun facts, but wait, a few other fave scenes of this episode. And Adam, did you watch the episode or no?
Oh, I watched the episode.
Okay, great. So let's talk about a few of our favorite scenes. One of my favorite that I have to note is that Amy Rosoff, who's my best friend and my wife, plays Hollis Doyle's lawyer, and she knocks the shit out of the scene.
Trisha Trainer is her name.
Trisha Trainer.
Talk about fast-paced talking. Yo, homegirl could talk fast. She's so good in this scene.
Killed it. Okay, any favorite scene, any winning scenes of this episode?
Katie, one of the scenes that I loved so much is when Quinn inspires the gladiators to spill all their secrets, where Olivia sort of becomes the next client.
Yeah.
And everyone starts spilling everything they know, and Huck is just staying quiet, and Harrison is like, if you don't agree with something, cough or, you know, make a noise or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good scene.
So classic, amazing gladiating.
And Quinn
awesome
spills
scene.
The tea about Huck being the one that injects her with, the M99. And takes her from that fucking hotel. And changes her identity. And that's also, this is the scene, Katie, where you see me carrying you on my back.
Talk
about farting. I'm 100% sure that I farted the minute I hoisted you on my back.
Honey, I can't believe you did that. Like that, carrying a human being on your shoulder is impossible. And the only person I've ever felt comfortable and confident with that even happening was Pete Holmes, and it's because he's 6'6". Like, like other people can't do. Adam's never carried me like that. We've been together 17 years.
I carried you across the threshold when we bought Darby's
like
house.
He carried me over his shoulder.
Like, oh yeah.
Put my ass over his shoulder. Like, that is an owie.
Yeah, my lower back's not going to handle that well.
Yeah, I remember Tom Verica being on set, and he helped me through it. And he was saying, actually, that position of carrying someone sort of distributes the weight evenly in a way where it's not super stressful on the body. But I'm sure I farted when I did that.
Oh, my God, it was horrible.
Good to know. I love the Huck and Becky scenes.
Oh yeah.
I love seeing you and Susie Porfar because she was like the first time we had seen sort of like a female Huck on the show. Like somebody just as dark and just
Huck
as tortured.
Goes to see Becky in jail and he tells her that he figured out Cytron.
Fun fact about that scene, Susie Porfar was probably like 6 months pregnant.
Pregnant while we were shooting
that scene. Right. Yes.
Right. I love the Quinn stuff leading the table, like you said. I absolutely love that, and that there's no hard feelings. It's all in service of Olivia Pope. Melly getting OB checkup and reminiscing that the only place they're a team, her and Fitz, is in the delivery room.
Yeah, so she has the pregnancy induced, right? That's what brings Fitz back and
fucking
psychopath. And then there's the great scene of like sort of Harrison telling Olivia like.
I got your back.
In only the way Harrison could, that like, we got your back. You're the white hat. You're Olivia Pope. You know, like, I just that sort of like that loyalty. That was like when the show, like, I just really was like, oh, man, this group.
I remember them shooting that scene and I remember Carrie and Columbus having a sort of a conversation about how special that moment was that these two, you know, black characters are having this moment. Like those two could run the world in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that they're just having this bonding moment. And it was so significant and special to see these two black actors on the screen having that
such
moment. You know what I mean?
Such a good point. Were there any other scenes that stuck out to anybody as winners? Because then I got to tell you all something else.
For me, one of the fun things that happens, one of the memorable lines is when Cyrus is having a scene with Melly where she's freaking out about, you know, Fitz being so,
dick
in his own world and he saw the baby Jesus or whatever, which I love when she says that line. And she leaves the room and he says to himself, breeders. So fucking fun.
So fucking true.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that line.
I also love when Huck goes to Olivia's apartment and he gets into bed with her.
And lays down on the bed. It's so special.
Yeah.
It's so special.
And she tells him, Huck, you have to stop killing people.
Yeah. You have to stop killing people.
This episode was packed. Every episode was so packed.
Every episode is so packed. And by the way, so sad, RIP, that you're going to have to come on when we do the Scandal Wives Club episode, because this is the only episode we see Jesse Tyler in because...
I die.
He dies. Which Kaboom. Brings, how do you remember how you, tell us your death story.
You know, well, Guillermo saw me die last night of a strangulation.
Asphyxiation,
from
yes.
Yeah, asphyxiation. Yes. This was the first time I've ever been blown up by a mail bomb.
Nice. Nice.
And I'm not the only one who dies, right? I think like 12
people
died.
Seven,
yeah.
But let me tell you guys, we got a Scandal body count. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, yes.
These are the murders throughout the series of Scandal. Bang, 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 bang.
Wow. Katie, that was really good.
That
really
was good.
We are only counting murders in this body count. Let me get everybody caught up. We got Amanda Tanner in episode 105. Okay. She's murdered by Charlie George Newbern, who was hired by Cyrus Jeff Perry. Okay. She's drowned. She's injected in the toe with some bad shit that kills her instantly. And then they leave her body in the Potomac.
That's
Who's
right.
the second? Bow, 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 murder,
oh, I know
Guillermo.
Who the second one is.
Who is it?
A little scissors to the neck action.
Oh, Gideon Wallace, who's married to Oksana Bayul. Or not.
He was murdered by Billy Chambers, but also kind of Quinn Perkins because she pulled the damn scissors out. We'll never know, will we?
That's hey, right.
You know, the Quinn wouldn't have. There's no way she could have.
Our
known.
Third death. Pew, 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 pew. Guys, this is, by the way, Guillermo, I mean, Adam, we've never done this segment before.
No.
This is new.
Oh,
Body
good.
Count is our newest listing of Scandal.
Yeah.
Number three is Britta Kagan in episode 208.
Oh,
she wow. is. She is dead and murdered by Becky.
Gunshots. Yes.
Murdered by a remote controlled sniper rifle. And that brings us to, sadly, RIP, our fourth body count murder death today. The one and only.
Jesse Tyler.
Mr. Jesse Tyler.
Well, I will say I was the fourth person killed on Scandal, but in the actual timeline, I was the first person killed.
Oh, that's true, Adam.
That's very
so true.
True.
Because yeah. I was a flashback. Jesse Tyler's death is not only does he is he responsible for Fitz being elected? But his death is the beginning of the unraveling of everything.
Oh boy!
His death is like why Quinn Perkins gets saved, and it's like
yeah.
I mean, it's everything. Like the seven, it's everything.
I love it.
This was not the first time Shonda Rhimes killed me off in the episode in which I first appear.
Did she kill you off in Grey's?
That's
yeah,
right.
I died of a shooter in the hospital.
Adam, you've died 1,000 times in your career. Like,
I die a lot.
But...
I once had a director tell me early in my career that I was going to die in things a lot.
And why do you say that? I remember this.
Well, he said that a lot of times the first person to die in a movie has to be like it sort of instantly likable and funny, and because you don't have a lot of time to develop the character. So he's right. like, when you come into these auditions and you're you, a lot of times people are like, oh, perfect. That's the guy we'll kill off right
we'll
away.
We'll kill him off.
You know,
people are going to love him.
People yeah. are going to
oh,
like him.
Wow. He'll pull at the out. Heartstrings. He'll
and it's true.
The
I think I've died, I've died, I don't know, 50 times.
Numerous times.
Okay, we got some fun facts on today's 212 episode. Obviously, Adam Shapiro, who portrays Jesse Tyler, boyfriend of Lindsay Dwyer, is Katie Liz's real-life husband. Surprise.
That's nice.
Another fun fact, as Fitz leans over Melly at the end of the episode, his tie goes from loose and to the side to tight and in the center of his collar and back again several times
yes.
without him ever touching
it. I watched
it
happen when I was watching it last night. Yeah.
Movie magic.
Movie magic. Another fun fact, it was Kerry Washington's birthday the day this episode aired. She turned 36
Wowzers.
At the time. And then the last fun fact, sites on the so-called dark web sell the services of hitmen like Becky for anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000, depending on the style of murder.
What?
But don't expect to get your money's worth. Experts and law enforcement officers who have studied these sites claim that not a single murder has ever been attributed to one of them.
Wow.
Can you imagine some dumb ass going on a website to try to hire a killer? Like, you do that shit in person, not listen.
You got to do it in person.
I would assume you do that shit in person.
Yeah, you do it in a dark alley or a...
Yeah.
Like, or you do it in a parking garage.
Yes. Yeah. Come on.
As
now?
We wrap this up, I want to, let's just get through, let's just like do a little bit of a, tweet of the time. Yeah.
That do not sound like no bird.
That does not sound like a bird. That sounds dirty.
No,
but I'm
no, that's a bird's wings flapping.
Oh, yeah, I see
it
that.
It kind
okay.
of is. And kind
that's
of.
A wet bird.
So some scandal tweets of the time. Adam, will you read some? Jump in. Do you have some of these?
Oh, scandal tweets of the time. All right. Well, you wrote my husband.
My first at Katie Q Lowe's on January 31st, Kerry Washington, she turned 106. Meet my husband, Adam Shapiro. He's hilarious and adorable and is on Scandal tonight. I'm excited for you to see.
And then you put my website, chappy.net.
Oh, why did I put
you had a website?
That
remember when we would have websites back in the day? Nobody
first of
got
all,
no website no
wait,
more.
I'm pretty sure chappy.net is still up. Let me type it in. I haven't
really?
Been there in
There better oh, yeah. be a big it's, pretzel on the on
oh,
the front page.
Oh, it's still
page.
There. It's still there. So if anybody
wow.
wants to go to shabby.net, it's a nice little actor website
oh my God.
All about me.
I love
That's
it.
That's really funny.
Wait, this is a good tweet. Happy birthday, Kerry Washington. The reason I'm a gladiator, that woman is too amazing. Hashtag Scandal Thursday by Khadijah Granger.
Nice. And then we have one from Brie Yonce, hashtag in other news. I'm ready to watch the side chick win tonight. Hashtag scandal. I'm with her or him, whoever that was.
At Maylady84 tweeted, I'm not opposed to Huck doing something gruesome to Hollis. Hashtag scandal. Agreed. Uh-oh.
Ooh. Miss Veronica at I Love KC Chiefs. Well,
you
I thought she was going to say
they
I Love KFC. She says, wait, Edison is on again tonight? Rocks back and forth, throws TV out the window. Seriously, is he? Goes on a killing spree. Hashtag scandal. Hashtag I can't.
Edison was so fucked on this show. Like, you can't be the love interest that comes in between Olivia and Fitz.
There's no way.
At scandal.
Melly got a lot of like that too, right? You know, just from being married to Fitz. Who
yeah.
at Nikki 528 Nick Drip Intravenous tweeted, Nene Leakes said, you should leave a baby inside until it's ready to come out. Guess Melly doesn't watch much. Hashtag Real Housewives of Atlanta. Hashtag scandal.
Oh, that's funny. at C says, at scandal 411, no! Hashtag scandal season 8. Olivia walks into her apartment and Edison is sitting there asking her, why she didn't pick his calls up for 8 years. Yikes.
Bellamy at Bellamy Young said, hashtag gladiators, you better take today to nap and hydrate because you are gonna need the help to make it through tonight's heart-stopping Scandal ABC episode. Hashtag ask scandal. She was
Good
not wrong.
Good tweet, Bellamy.
Right?
That great tweet. At Save the Curl, Curl Gladiator tweeted, who else thinks that Olitz are going to take that Rachel and Ross break as some gladiators think? Oh, I like it. All right, guys, I just want to say, I love you both. I love you both. My real life husband and my work husband, I couldn't be a more fortunate lady on this planet to be so well cared for. And honestly, Adam, hearing you talk about the Scandal Wives, I'm going to get a little emotional here. And then we're going to go. But I was the most luckiest actor in the world that on this ride, you were my person.
Wow.
I agree.
Because you are the most supportive.
He really is.
Loving, kind, funny, and also like.
I'm talented.
You're always game to hold my purse and root for a scandal. And you were just, you were always the fucking best, and you still are the fucking best. And I love
it
you
was
so
my
much.
Favorite. It, honestly, it was my favorite thing ever. I mean, aww. A lot of people always ask about, you know, being married to another actor, you know, and what's that like? And I'm like, well, the only difference is that I'm happiest when Katie books things.
I feel the same way about Adam.
There's nothing better than when Katie books.
I feel the same way. When Adam books, it's the best because I get all the high from getting it and the stories about it and the money for our family and all of this, but I don't have to actually go do it.
You don't have the pressure of actually doing the work.
So it's like, exactly. Oh my God, when Adam books, it's like the best.
You could chill, lay back, yes. And be like, this motherfucker's going to work for a minute.
Yes, and I like feel so happy and proud of him. It's like so... It's the greatest. It's just the greatest.
The other thing I loved about is live the fact that, you know, Katie, do you talk about the proximity to our house, to the set, like how close we lived to Scandal? The best part about that was whenever there was a really delicious food treat, I was only like 2 minute drive away. And, you know, this was pre-COVID, so anybody could walk on set. I mean, if you had
Adam, the food truck is here. Adam, there's an ice cream truck.
Yes.
Adam,
there's a cheesesteak.
Carrie got cupcakes. Adam, Carrie got the whole Dylan's candy
and
bar.
Adam would show up. He'd be like, hey,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, he'd be like, hey, guys, what's up? Everyone's like, oh, what are you doing here? I'm like, just here for the tacos. See you later.
Fuck yes. Oh, man.
The next episode up is 213 Nobody Likes Babies.
Oof.
I don't remember what the hell it's about.
You can say that again.
But you're going to find it here. And Adam Shapiro, you were the best gladiator. Is there anything you want to say in closing out? Gladiators, anything you want to say to the gladiators listening?
Oh, yeah. I do want to say one thing. I love the gladiators. Like because I tweeted so often, like I could be walking in a random city working or whatever, and somebody will come up to be like, I'm a gladiator. And I'm like, I'm a gladiator.
Yes.
And then they'll tell me their Twitter handle, and I'm like, I'm not kidding. I know exactly who they are.
You know who they are.
And
I
just, that community was so awesome. I mean, just so supportive. And, you know, I love you guys. Gladiators for life.
Thank you for coming on Unpacking the Toolbox. It was the most fun.
This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me, guys. I love you.
We love you, Adam.
We love you, Adam. I mean,
how fucking great is your husband? I want to cradle him in my arms while he cries and I gently like
greatest.
Stroke his hair.
He's honestly like the greatest. Ugh. Great. People always ask me, they'll be like, what's the most important, best decision you ever made in your life? And I always say, marrying Adam Shapiro. Period.
Oh. 100%.
Like, it's a non-negotiable. He's the most wonderful,
one of a kind
human being. And he was amazing as Jesse Tyler.
Yeah,
and
he was
amazing at the Scandal Wives Club. And I hope you guys had, today's episode was long, but there was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot in it. Go watch it on Hulu. Do yourself a favor and come back and listen to Unpacking the Toolbox.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.